the bond that you had with your pet, you know, even back before we were home all the time with them, is so deep because they become like your best friend. They become a part of your family. And so a lot of the book really does talk about the grief that comes when we lose our pets, because obviously they don't have the same lifespans as we do. And so there's guided imagery in there so that people can come face to face with their pet and just heal that aspect of grief.
Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio, my guest. This is part two, Shelley Kerr. We talked with her before about Past Lives and the Stars book, which is part of her Pythagorean Healing series, book number 4, PastLifeLady.com. If you want to get up to speed on that, you can listen to the show in the archives, or you can just follow along. We're going to continue with a few more elements from the book, Past Lives with Pets, because everybody relates to animals. Okay, now we addressed in the previous interview that you did go through COVID, and so you have basically, you know, earned your stripes and said it, what, 6 weeks at least for you to kind of feel a little bit back to normal?
Yeah, unfortunately, despite lots of energy healing, crystals, prayers, vitamins, and healthy eating, it still took me a while to get back. But I'm back now, and I'm glad to be here. So.
Well, but that part of it, I did want to mention, because this is a, you know, this is going to be a year. The numbers are going up, and it's nice to talk to people who've recovered and maybe have a little bit of their story to share. And you said even though your parents are older, they both were able to deal with it a little easier than you. So I think that's also, you know, given the stories that we're hearing, that's nice and reassuring.
Yeah, I hope it does reassure. Because it, like you said before, we just can't judge how any person's going to react to this. So I was pleasantly surprised that they did as well. And even with your mother, I'm so glad to hear that she's better. You just thank God and you just take one day at a time. And sometimes it turns out better than what we've been led to believe.
Well, and yeah, and that's part of it. It's that don't panic, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Don't panic. Oh, and don't forget your towel.
Yes.
Yeah. So 2021 might be the year that the towel comes in handy. All right. Just saying. But I want to get back into the pets, because this is something, the amazing thing that happened last year was that people adopted in droves pets. The some of the shelters were cleaned out. And I know several people who got a puppy, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And so the people who are shelter workers are going, thank you. Thank you. In the meantime, though, there's a reason for that. And especially when you're having a tough time or dealing with grief, that's one of the number one things that I think you addressed in your book with the Past Lives with Pets, that's a way to help us get through some of these tougher periods. And grief is a big issue. So I guess we'll start from the beginning. And when somebody, are they coming directly to you for a pet issue, or is it just a personal issue and the pet seems to show up? How does it work?
Yeah, let me also comment on the pet shelter thing and the fact that pets are getting adopted right now. It was a really great year for dogs in 2020 for sure, with all the adoptions and all the pets. And I'm just kind of hoping in a way that we get to work from home from now on, because these little dogs love to go walking, you know, and all the pets are getting adopted. I think they're loving being around their people. And I think it would be really sad if they were not around their people anymore.
Yeah. Well, okay. Some of the cartoons were about, okay, the person is home. Whoa. And the pet had to adapt because the person was, you know, you always have pet, the anxiety issues, usually primary. Oh, they're, you know, you're gone and the pet misses you. But then the person is home. And so the pet may try to bond with you and, you know, be in your face, or they may just sulk, or they may at an inopportune moment do all sorts of fun things to get your attention because they're bored and you are right there and you're doing absolutely nothing. I think that's the hilarious part of it, was that the animals had to adapt to the presence of their humans 24/7, going, oh gosh, now what?
Yes, there was the funniest cartoon when it was a little doggy and he was like, my master's home. And then the cat was going, my master's home. I knew that jerk couldn't hold down a job, you know. And that's kind of like how cats and dogs are,
yeah.
You know.
And I was like, okay, no fun now. Well, and so that part of it was just an amazing a turnaround. And a saying that behaviors, you know, as we try to adapt, then everything, it's kind of a domino chain reaction, where it's not just us individually, it's our entire framework that we're having to kind of renegotiate and develop in some way, shape, or form, a schedule and a routine that we can count on. So that's going to be happening this year as well. This is, the routines have changed. The schedules are different. And the deal is pets are still with us. There were some stories in there, and I thought it was interesting recapping this, that guys tended to have a very strong bond. By and large, dog was very predominant, where women would be a little bit more versatile. But I thought that was fascinating, that the dog was the primary connection for the male.
Yeah, that is really more prominent in the people that I was working with. And to get to your other question about grief, I mean, as we're coming out of 2020 and all the things that we had to let go of, you know, even that brings grief. And certainly in the pet book, I talked about the bond that you had with your pet, you know, even back before we were home all the time with them, is so deep because they become like your best friend. They become a part of your family. And so a lot of the book really does talk about the grief that comes when we lose our pets, because obviously they don't have the same lifespans as we do. And so there's guided imagery in there so that people can come face to face with their pet and just heal that aspect of grief.
I'm going to recap too, though, that in the last segment, what we talked about, I was so shocked because my cat, when he passed, said, "I will come back," telepathic, that kind of thing. And I'll be there as a tabby. And I totally forgot about it. So when this little tabby kitten shows up from next door, along with his tuxedo brother, and parks on our property, and then the neighbors move and say, "Would you like the cats?" There's this little tabby cat who is with me now and sleeps on my corner of the bed. And there's no doubt that this is an indication that something connected. All right. And so he isn't identical, but the fact that he is bonded, and it's like, wow. And my husband said, "Remember, you know, remember what he said?" I'm like, "Oh, I forgot." But they join with us in different ways. And I was always, from a kid, horses. Horses were my favorite, and I drew one until I got one, and it was like I'd won the lottery because I was so enamored. And I think maybe that's not that uncommon for young girls, but because I know a few others who have that same kind of, you know, passion. But you had a story in your in the past life with pets about, well, a few, about horses.
Oh, yes. One of my favorite, because the book's divided into different animal types. So my favorite horse story is probably about this gentleman who came to see me. And again, they're not coming in about the pet. The pet just kind of comes in as a byproduct. But he happened to mention that he had been a troubled teen in his younger days. And so sometimes they would send people out to ranches for the summer so they could do hard work and hopefully learn some life lessons, get out in nature, and kind of straighten themselves up. And so he went out to this ranch in Utah, and he met this family that was running the place, and he learned there in his current life to really love horses so much that he started working with them professionally and with a farrier helping take care of them and everything. So he went into a past life situation where he saw himself on a wagon train, and he saw that the people who owned that ranch were his parents in a past life on the wagon train. And so he just came to understand that his connection to the horses, you know, was not just from this life, and just how deep it was. He knew that he felt, as an adult, you know, looking back on his life, he felt so indebted to this family that he had met there, because he knew that they changed his life. And he said, you know, "I don't even know where I would be right now if this hadn't happened, if I hadn't gone to the ranch." But then he was able to learn that it just went so much deeper than that. And I really like that story too, because it was really kind of a story of redemption. You know, we all make mistakes, but we can really learn from those things and use them in our later life to become better and to contribute to the world. And it was just really, really cool.
I like the stories that are coming out now. There's an actual, I can't remember the name of it, darn, it's about the octopus on Netflix. And it's, oh my gosh, it's a classic. It should be required for everyone to see this. It's the guy who did an up close and personal documentary about his experience with an octopus. And they have a short lifespan, so you see the whole progression of this, and it becomes like a pet. And she's there, and it's just amazing. Okay, so we're going to get into more of this healing experiences with animals. My guest, past life lady Shelley Kerr, coming back and talking about the healing that happens in conjunction with animals. Wendy's Coffee House. Shelley Kerr, my guest, the past life lady, and books are available through Amazon and pastlifelady.com. Interview number two. If you missed the first one, go back and check it out in the archives on Audio Boom, Wendy's Coffee House. All right, it's in there. Animals do have social lives. And whether it's an insect or a mammal or, you know, all across the board, we're understanding and appreciating more our fellow inhabitants on this planet, the fact that they also have lives beyond what we're seeing and what maybe we have the ability to fathom in some cases because of their connections, like elephants, you know, when they communicate through that, hearing the rumbles and the in the ground when they're making a noise that is below our hearing. And they have that understanding and, you know, to draw other animals for miles. I can't remember the guy who was an elephant whisperer, basically, when he died. And the herd came to him to honor him. And then a year later showed up again. These things are very real and reminders that we do share a planet with some amazing beings. In this book that you have with Past Lives with Pets, you also deal with healing with animals. Could you share some of that?
Yeah, I talked a lot about the early days of my fledgling career as an energy healer. Back when I really used to go out and do a lot of, I used to do house clearings, and I did a lot of animal healing in that day. And because I live in Texas, there's a lot of ranches kind of north of where I am. And so I would be called out. Like, one lady wanted me to come out to see her horse because he just wasn't acting right. She didn't understand what was wrong with him. So I would go out to the stall and just, I use a lot of gems and minerals. Animals really react well to, like, rose quartz is always a good one, amethyst. And then I would just send healing to them and start to kind of just listen and see if I could pick up anything about them and send them energy. They're very sensitive, as you know. Horses are incredibly, they're smarter than we are. So they know who you are the minute you walk up. You have to be very slow and very relaxed around the horse. But I just sense that what happened was, I sense he's grieving, and then she was ended up telling me that one of the other horses had recently passed. And so just kind of some kind of a nonverbal acknowledgement or communication with animals tends to kind of rectify a lot of things for them. And so he just started acting better after that. And I guess it's because maybe the owners are too close to them, because some of the things that the animals are needing or wanting, you know, are really common sense. But it's, I guess, just like every other relationship, when we're too close to the person, maybe we just don't see what's right in front of us. And I was also called out to go visit a dog who had stopped eating. He was being boarded at a vet, and he just said, "Get me out of here, get me out of here." The minute I got in there, I was like, okay, I mean, that's kind of to me, it's a no-brainer. Your dog does not want to be at the vet. I called the owners. I said, look, he wants you to get your neighbor over here, pick him up, take him to the neighbor's house, and then he'll be fine. So they did listen. They took him to the neighbor's house, and of course, it was miraculous. He started eating again, and they said, oh, this is so wonderful, Shelley, thank you. And I was like, I just don't know that that's that miraculous, but I mean, it did help. Again, I think sometimes, you know, just having a different perspective on these things can help. But I think we can all speak to our animals. You know, when we're all being called right now in 2020 and even in this first part of 2021 to really go within, I mean, part of effective, you know, relationships with animals, this is a relationship. We need to treat it as a relationship. And sometimes we just quiet down and really just listen to the thoughts coming in our mind about what our animal wants or needs. Their needs are very simple and basic, but, you know, they're very loyal, they're very loving, they're concerned about their food, maybe their bedding, and they just want to be loved, and they want to be, you know, they want to have a little bit of your attention, and they need to get us off of those screens sometimes, you know, and I think that's one of the biggest gifts they give us, is getting us away from the computer.
Well, part of that, though, is that it can be confusing because you're looking at your computer, you have an image on the screen, and your pet, whatever pet it happens to be, could be trying to signal you and giving you an image as well. And so here's the image coming from the pet, which is like the dog bowl or the back door or even an image of your partner, and because they're coming home or they're having a tough time or something, and they're sending you information. And until you realize that and start plugging into it, you're just going to discount it like, okay, I got distracted. And it's actually the pet trying to get your attention and get you to divest yourself and get away. You know, this is actually more important, developing that contact with the companion who's saying, hey, you are telepathic. You're just blocking it. You're tuning it out.
Yeah, you're exactly right, because these pets are definitely communicating with us. I was teaching an animal communication class to this group of annual students recently, and I was doing some research, and one of the things they were talking about is, you know, we have thoughts in our, we have images and little movies running in our head. Let's say if I had a movie, let's say if I had a dog, I don't have one, but let's say I was imagining he was just acting like a little monster and tearing everything up. And if that's the image that's running in my mind all the time, then he's going to go, you know, rip up everything. But if I could just go into my own mind and see him quietly, you know, being well behaved, and start putting that image in my mind, then sometimes the animal will meet the expectation that you're putting out in your mind, and that's a good way to communicate with animals. And so some of my students had these little puppies. Uh-huh. They were just like, you know, real hyper. And so, you know, we started just all offending the puppy a little. Vision of him just sitting there like a little baby and not jumping up and down. And, you know, to a certain extent it works. I'm still trying to train my cat, but I'll let everybody know when that happens.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good luck. First they train you, and then yeah. Decide whether or not they'll go with whatever you want. I want to go back to that, though, too, because, you know, as an intuitive or whatever, sometimes people want you to fix their cat or dog when it actually comes down to they need more attention and more activity. And if you have an active pet, sometimes they just need to go for a walk. And that has been a tough one to get by or through to certain people. There was one I remember. And this had more to do with anxiety again, but there was no routine. There was nothing to be consistent in that pet's life. And so the pet was destructive and destroying things because there was not just boredom, but a way of saying, is this all there is? You know, and not being able to bond, because no matter how many images you send of be quiet and nice and perfect, the animal is absolutely on high alert, because there's noises outside and there's all sorts of things happening and nothing's happening with the person. And that's where I think we get distracted.
Yeah, I think that could have been, again, one of the other gifts that came out of the 2020 problem, is that when people were home and then everybody was saying, hey, you know, you need to be outside getting fresh air rather than going inside for exercise and things, you did see a lot more people finally getting out and getting some fresh air and walking the dogs a lot. And I think that was probably one of the biggest gifts they gave us. Because sometimes if my cat's staring at me, or if he's over standing on my keyboard, which he is doing, because again, he did train me, yes. Then maybe that ought to be a big slap in the face that I need to get up and, you know, he wants to have a few toys thrown, or I need to go stretch or do something. We need to get out. You know, speaking of the COVID, I mean, they said that one of the problems with people who get it, who don't do well with it, is that they're very vitamin D deficient, and we should be getting vitamin D through our skin, Wendy, by going outside, but we're never outside.
Okay.
And that's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. See, the animals are like, all right, excuse me, human.
Yeah.
All right. I want to go back into one of the stories that stands out for you most, past lives with pets. Okay. And we're going to do this in the next break, because I'm running out of time and telling you this. Have it in your mind of what was one of the ones that really surprised you and maybe, you know, pulled at your heartstrings. Wendy's Coffee House this last year gave us a stronger awareness how important animals are in our lives. And people are feeding birds. They're watching the squirrels. I've got somebody on my Facebook page showing me the deer and all the animals in their yard. I've got more hawks that somehow I'm able to take a picture of. Shelly Kerr is my guest. Wendy's Coffee House. All right. This is interview number 2. If you missed the first one, go back and check it out in the archives on Audio Boom, Wendy's Coffee House. All right. It's in there. Wanted to focus more on some of the pet information. This is Past Life with Pets. And Shelly Kerr is at PastLifeLady.com. All right. So back into this, they're going to read your book, okay? So this isn't a spoiler, but what was one of your favorite, the one that maybe pulled at your heartstrings a little bit more?
Oh, wow. I guess I would still say there's a friend of mine who, a friend client who had lost his grandmother. I talk a lot about like animal totems and things and how they can show up in our lives in different ways. And his grandmother had passed, and he was talking about shortly after her death that there was a cardinal who kept flying and trying to get in the window of her house. And he just had a deep sense from childhood when this had happened that this was his grandmother. This cardinal was his grandmother. And so to his surprise, he went on a past life regression where he went and he saw himself living in Japan in the 1200s. And he saw that his grandmother was his aunt. And, you know, they believed in the religion that the animals really are, like people can, their spirits can embody animals. And so his grandmother was a bird in that life. And so he came back with this feeling that kind of feeling that he had in his heart his whole life about his grandmother and how deeply he missed her after her passing, that really came from a place that was far deeper than what he had originally thought.
Yeah, yeah. It's so funny. Recently, I can't remember where I saw it. It was a woman who lost her husband, and it was a sudden death. He was there 1 minute, the next minute gone. But they were out and about in a natural setting, and this bird came up and landed on her shoulder. The bird ended up living with them, a wild bird out of nowhere. And it was a reminder from her, for her, that we transit and that love continues, and it may appear in a unique form, but that's what she felt was her husband. I wish I could remember. There's been so much I've been reading lately, a ton and ton of stuff. So I can't right now place the source for that, but it went along. And that's why I was like, you know, your book is timeless. These stories are timeless. They connect us with animals in ways that is beyond something that we can express verbally. But when you know you have a connection with a certain pet or a certain animal, they're right there, front and center. I lost my dog, Gracie, earlier, August. She left. But I have seen her and her ghost, my husband saw in the yard about the time we needed a little protection. Somebody left a candle burning in the house. All right. Fixed.
Oh,
okay.
Gosh.
Yeah. But I asked, why is she there? And it was the message was protection. And I gave him goosebumps, which is really an odd thing because usually, you know, when I've had this experience before seeing something, it hasn't been that kind of a trigger, but he had goosebumps and I'm thinking, okay, something, this is, we need to know. So I asked, what was the purpose? Why did she show up? And it was about protection. So within about 3 days, that was the fire issue. And I still have a lovely little place where on the window where the candle was is a nice little scorch mark. Fortunately, we figured it out before it went any further, but
oh my god,
things like that. Those are real things, and that, you know. So that's why in your stories and the people that you connect with, these are true. They happen, and we sometimes we don't know how to trans, you know, even tell somebody else to about that and say it meant something to me, and yet these things happen every day. And I think this last year gave us a stronger awareness how important animals are in our lives. And people are feeding birds. They're watching the squirrels. I've got somebody on my Facebook page showing me the deer and all the animals in the yard. I've got more hawks that somehow I'm able to take a picture of. You know, whether they're showing up more or, you know, we're paying more attention, this is these are things that I think make life worth living because they're the embellishment of our everyday, you know, mundane stuff, that they're there to perk things up, and joy is a part of that. So when you're dealing with your pets and especially when you're able to connect somebody to a past life issue that says this has been part of you longer than you realize, it just brings a whole different level of awareness to your normal, the present, and possibly heals you in a way that you hadn't anticipated. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I totally agree. I mean, our pets are gifts, and they're in our lives for a reason, and it couldn't be a better time than now, that's for sure.
Who's your favorite pet as a kid?
I did talk in the book about my cat, Sam, and Sachet that I had when I was a little kid. Sam was really my favorite because he let me carry him around, and I wore him like a stole around my neck.
Yes.
And they are a pair of cats who, like what happened to you with your cat, I felt like they had reincarnated in later in my life as well. And then they have since left the building. And now I've got little Biscuit, and he is adorable. And he's on my Instagram page if people want to come see him. And I've got pictures of the old cats from the 70s.
Yes.
And Sam and Sachet, and new cats also on Instagram if people want to see this. Because I believe in what you're saying. I believe your cat did return as a tabby. This happens all the time. I'm a believer, and so are a lot of other people. This isn't stuff we're talking about maybe on the street corner, but it is a widely accepted belief for a lot of people.
Well, I think as funny as your cat, I don't know if he'd be a hep cat, because maybe you said he was from the 70s. Maybe that would be a 60s cat, but, you know, hep cat, he's closed. Okay. Anyway.
Oh, I love it.
I just had an image of a cat playing a saxophone for whatever reason. It was with that hep cat.
He would be that kind of cat. He was cool. Cool.
And that's the thing about animals too, you know, their personalities. There's sometimes they are very human in their behaviors. You get the look of, I don't believe you're doing this to me again. And we had this conversation. It didn't go well last time. Do I need to remind you? I do not like being stuck in the crate. Okay.
Yes.
When you have to take them to the vet, you know, the vet, and you have to turn the crate upside down, do all sorts of stuff, hide the crate, make sure that the cat does not know that this is going to happen. Because if you tell them it's going to happen, you will never find the cat. Mm-mm. Well,
oh, yes. And you have to try not to keep it in your mind because they are psychic.
That's right. The minute
they
that,
read minds.
The picture's there and they are invisible. My mom doesn't have that. Well, she had one of them was okay. And the other one's like, uh-uh, no way. And you take them one at a time to get them to the vet. And that way it was easier to control and carry one than it was to do two. So she did the tandem. Anyway.
Yes, we've got to play tricks with these animals to get them to go.
Now, you still do past life sessions with people?
Oh, yes.
Is there anything that you've noticed in this past year with different kinds of requests? More people interested in it? Have you noticed a change?
I have had quite a few sessions, more sessions, because I guess it does come in waves. There's a bigger wave and a bigger probably demand. I think that when we're dealing with these ideas of life and death, it makes people want to look into these deeper issues. And then the other thing that's been interesting is that most of the time I'm taking them on the journey that's based on my book Lifestream that came out in 2003, where I take them into the past, but we end our session by going out into the future to a happy place where we're healthy and we're happy and everything's working out. Because I think it's so important right now that we do know, guess what? This may seem horrible right now, but there's still a happy place out here in the future and we're moving towards it. And most of the people went out to 2022 and beyond where they were with a big bunch of people. Maybe they were with their family or they're hanging out, just being around people. And it wasn't the big elaborate, you know, fireworks and the best thing that could have ever happened to somebody. It was more about family and togetherness. And like you said earlier, we're learning to appreciate the little things and realizing that these are the things that actually matter. And there's been a lot of people going out to very happy memories of the future when we all get together again.
We're going to take a quick break. Wendy's Coffee House.
Typically, clients will visit two or three different lifetimes. Depending on what it is we're working on, there's usually patterns that do emerge where the person could go, oh my gosh, guess what? This thing I'm doing now, I've been doing that then, and then. Maybe I don't need to do that anymore. Or if it's a good thing, maybe I need to do more of it.
Shelley Kerr is my guest. Wendy's Coffee House. I think each of us in our dreams is being given foreshadowing. And so with that, and mine happened to be, I'm in a group going, why aren't they wearing their masks? That's the wild card. You know, how far is it going to be before the vaccinations are widespread and we are beyond this? And I think right now there is no solid answer for that. So
I agree.
Yeah. So this is going to be a much different space when we come out of this. And at the same time, I do think there are people who are having the premonitions, knowing that there's a reason for this, and getting through it is not just getting through to get by, getting through to get beyond and to elevate and say, this wasn't necessary for me to do these kinds of things. I'm more in line with this job or, you know, with this community and these people. And we bring up the subject of separations and people saying that was a tough choice to make and it wouldn't have happened without this crisis that we're undergoing. And I think the pets are helping people deal with that too. I'm kind of being vague. I don't want to identify anybody, but that's been part of it too. There have been some separations and relationships that just completely fell apart as a result of all of this crisis.
You know, when these doors close, though, you know, other doors are going to open. And I think that when we're in the in-between phases, that can sometimes feel very difficult. But I think I said in the first episode, when we get past all of this weirdness, to wherever it is that we're going, we're going to look back on this time in our lives and say, wow, this was some really valuable time for getting ourselves into alignment with it, just exactly what you were saying. What is important? If there's relationships and situations no longer serving me, thank God they're not in my life anymore, because now this new thing has come and it's going to be better and more suited to us.
If someone is dealing with an issue right now, and really struggling with why it's happening, why it's necessary, and what the message is, your past life abilities might be able to help someone tap into, hey, this has happened before. It's been a struggle for you, and this is the one time you have to really face it head on and say, I'm done with this. Been there, done that, and change the pattern instead of repeating things over and over again. And I think that's what past life regression helps with. It's going through and identifying traumas that are reoccurring and saying, well, what can I do this time that would bring it to a healthier level? Does that make sense to you?
Oh, absolutely. Because when you go on these regressions, typically clients will visit two or three different lifetimes. And yes, depending on what it is we're working on, there's usually patterns that do emerge where the person could go, oh my gosh, guess what? This thing I'm doing now, I've been doing that then, and then. Maybe I don't need to do that anymore. Or if it's a good thing, maybe I need to do more of it, you know? And then, yes, that's when we start to make real change. And you just kind of rise above problems and situations, see them from a new perspective, and you're able to really invest that information in moving forward in a new way that feels more empowering to you.
When you were a kid, did you ever see this as your future, working with past lives and doing the Pythagorean healing, for one thing? I mean, did you see that at all as a potential future?
You know, I do think that children do play with toys and stuff, and they do, like, make-believe about who they want to be. And I did used to have this little teeny tiny little sofa and this little chair. And so I would sit in my little chair, and I would put my little stuffed animals on the sofa and give them counseling.
You're joking.
No, I'm dead serious. Not, it wasn't past life counseling, but yeah, these animals, these stuffed animals, you know, Wendy, they've got a lot of issues. So I'm just science.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, okay. Well, that's pretty impressive.
Well, yeah, I didn't take them into any past lives, but I definitely worked out a few issues with some of these.
Bet you did. All those stuffed animals needed a talking to. I have a dog who has that issue with his stuffed animals. He takes each one out and gives them a personal talking to. Sometimes they have to stay in the yard.
Or a good shaking and a bearing in the yard.
Yeah.
That'll change your attitude pretty quick.
He has one. He's a Papillon, and he has one that is definitely his bestie. And this one is a for certain things to happen, this is the one that has the sleepovers, okay? And there are certain conversations that they will be definitely having a head-to-head. This is an issue we need to clear, and it's hilarious to watch. The other toys don't have that same effect. And then there's also, I have a Lucy, you know, Charlie Brown Lucy. Lucy sings. He absolutely adores Lucy like she's his girlfriend. He will do little dances. He will get up on his back legs and give her a little hug on the cheek. She is not a chew toy. She goes back up on the shelf. But when she comes off, he'll look up at her. And when she comes down to visit and play her song, then he does his little dance routine and jumps up on his hind legs to put his cheek against her cheek. He might give her a little kiss, not much more than that. But it is just amazing to watch him flirt with Lucy. And that, so, yeah, Yeah, just
that is the cutest little thing I've ever heard. A little papillon. Oh, what a little doll
yes,
that must
yes.
be.
So, well, he's a character.
So,
okay.
So
for people who want to connect with you, you do, you're scheduling past life sessions, so you can do that. But you also have this group that you're working with, the Energy Group. And if somebody's interested in that kind of work as well, are there certain times that you accept students, or is this ongoing? How does that work?
Yeah, now it's ongoing. I started an online school. So the school, they can find it off of pastlifelady.com, but it's at healingarts.thinkific.com. I've got lots of energy healing classes, different past life journeys and things. And then I've got membership options where people can sign up for several classes at once.
Well, right
and
now,
then I
go ahead.
Offer, you know, packages and things like that. So.
Okay. I was going to say, right now, people are finding a new normal, and taking a step off the beaten path this is the perfect opportunity to do that. So it might be that this, you know, has opened a new window for people to explore things that they wouldn't have done before and find new ways of healing. And I think that knowing what might have been possible in a past life that can get you beyond that same old routine of hitting your head against a brick wall, didn't been there, done that, do something different this time, is an opportunity by researching and exploring what may be present in your past life that's causing that cycle to repeat. So, Shelley, I really appreciate your time, and I love the pet book, and I do not think it's antiquated. I think just because it came out in 2020, it's still valid. It's all about animals, and they are our buddies. So the stories you have in there are definitely, they're timeless, okay?
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, and if you're listening and you have a pet that you'd like to find out, maybe there's a past life issue, then Shelley could probably point you in the right direction, or at least hear a good story. She'll sit you on her couch.
That's right. Bring your stuffed animals.
I think that's fantastic. That's a great story. So, well, thank you. Thank you. And in the meantime, this is a two-parter, so you can hear the original, the first part of the show in the Audio Boom archives, Wendy's Coffee House. I just want to say thanks again. Thank you for sharing all of this. And it'll be interesting to see what happens next with the energy work beyond the stars. How's that?
Yes. Wendy, thanks so much for having me back. I can't wait till we get together again, because we always have so much to talk about.
Yeah. Everything hit the wall in 2020. So 2021 is going to be looking up. Shelley Kerr, my guest, the Past Life Lady. Your books are available through Amazon. And what's your website again? So people, it's pastlifelady.com, right?
That is correct.
That's way too easy.
Pastlifelady.com. Yes, easy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wendy's Coffee House.